If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Court Appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Introduce perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Schmerl. And I am just a dude.
So how you doing today, Tommy?
Well, it sounds like I've been tipping into the subject, but I haven't been.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
You've been having some dad margaritas?
Yeah, I almost forgot what I was doing there.
Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit about some alcohol and some booze today. Some everybody's favorite subject.
Alcohol and booze, of course.
Now, you were just on, a guest on with Taylor.
Yes.
On her, what's her show called?
Neat.
Neat, which is all about the history of drinking and how to make a drink, right?
Right. Different kinds of drink and why they do what they do and some things like that. And along with the podcast, they also do a short little video clip, usually demonstrates whatever they did in the podcast. So.
And when you guys were on vacation, didn't you just make some margaritas?
Yeah. Yeah, she was making a real margarita, and I made a dad margarita, so that's on the YouTube if you want to look at it.
So how do you make your dad margarita?
Well, I make it with the Jose Cuervo mix. See, I don't bother getting lime juice and some of those other things that you have to make it. I just get the mix, pour in, one third of the alcohol, one third tequila, and to one third part and mm-hmm. two thirds part mix, and then add a lot of ice.
Yeah, and you blend it up and freeze it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you blend it up, and there you go. So I found that I made a pitcher which worked out to 3 glasses.
Right,
and that had so you had 4 ounces of tequila split between the 4 glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when she made her, she had like 3 ounces of 2 ounces of tequila and 1 ounce of what's the other stuff?
Triple sec.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 1 ounce of triple sec. So. That's a liqueur.
Yes.
So you actually got 3 ounces of liquor in 1 glass of hers.
Yeah.
So hers were a little more potent.
Yeah, and I tend to skew more towards her style of margarita. They hurt my stomach less.
I've had some of those, and those are okay.
And she has hers on the rocks, not frozen.
Right, just on the rocks. I like the frozen margarita, and I know you don't get as much of a kick out of it, but I'm only going to drink one or two of them anyway, so...
There's a place down in the Keys, I think it's called Holiday Isle, and they have a drink called a painkiller, and it's a frozen drink.
Yeah.
And you get plenty of a kick out of that one.
Well, the most powerful one I ever had is when we were in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and we had the hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
And that comes in a great big chimney-style glass,
mm-hmm.
and by the time you get to the bottom of that glass... One is about all you can do. If you do two of them, you're going to be taking the horse carriage home.
Have you ever been to one of those Fat Tuesdays
bars? Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
They have a drink called a 190 Octane that's pretty strong in there. It's like an orange flavor, and I think they put like a 100 proof Everclear or something in there. Something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Only time we ever messed with grain alcohol was at fraternity parties.
Yeah. I like to make my Jello shots with those, or I used to at least.
Yeah, we used to have those.
I haven't made Jello shots in many days.
Yeah, you have to watch when the kids are around. No, those are not child Jellos.
Yeah,
those are adult Jellos. The kids don't understand that. What do you mean? Why can't I have Jello?
Have you ever heard of a show called Hot Ones? It's a YouTube show, and the basic premise is this guy, he has different celebrities on, and he has 10 wings, and they're all covered with increasing levels of hotness in the hot sauce, and he interviews them as they eat the hot wings.
Hmm.
And so the last one, by the time you get to the middle of the road, that's hotter than I would care to eat.
Right.
So it adds a little bit to the comedy of them trying to do the interview while their mouth's on fire.
Right.
Well, they just did season 9 finale today, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, the former wrestler, was on there.
Yeah.
And he went through, and he gave his recipe for the perfect Stone Cold margarita.
Yeah.
And his was basically, like you said, like Taylor's. It was 3 ounces of tequila. He said he liked Patron. And it was an ounce, I think, of triple sec, mm-hmm. and then an ounce of lime juice, and mixed it together. And he floated a little bit of Grand Marnier on top.
Yeah.
And that was basically his.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, basically, you just need 2 of these and you're good. That's 6 shots of tequila.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, speaking of those kind of shows, you've heard of the one that Jerry Seinfeld has with comedians in cars.
Oh, yeah.
They filmed at Taylor's Bar a few weeks ago.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and Taylor was in the shot when they come walking in. Taylor's in the shot. She's at the bar mixing a drink.
Oh, is it on YouTube?
No, it's whatever he's on.
They're not on YouTube anymore. Now they're on...
Yeah, they're on some cable
station.
It's
on Netflix.
Netflix?
I think it might be on Netflix.
Yeah, maybe so.
I know I've watched it before.
Yeah, it's on something on there. But yeah. she's actually in the shot. Now, I mean, you got to look quick when she comes in, but it's at her bar and she's standing there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, well, but she said that they were told, do not look at or talk to them or engage them in any manner while they're there.
Like, hey, can I get a drink over here? Nope. I was told not to look at you or engage you in any manner.
Well, if they said that, you'd just go over and not look at them. write down your order. You know, point to what you want.
A little tie-in to this show. I shared a video of a guy who witnessed a tree fall in this woman's car here in town.
Yeah.
basically he was a witness and he was being interviewed, and the city was cutting down this old dead tree, and they didn't fall it right.
They fell it right.
And they went down and smashed this girl's car, like just like something out of a cartoon. And there was this loquacious individual sitting on the porch, and he gave an interview to the news, and it went kind of viral, and I shared it on the Facebook or Quarter Pointed Facebook page. But
she can't go to school.
Bottom line is she can't go to school. But that guy, one of my friends that doesn't live in town anymore that I went to high school with, he saw that and he goes, I think I got that guy to buy us beer when we were in high school. So I think that there's a good chance that that guy bought us a 30 pack of Busch Light. I'm sure we gave him an extra $5 to do it or something. I can't swear to that it actually took place, but given our history of finding miscreants to buy beer for us and that guy's attitude,
right,
it's probably a strong chance that happened. So now the reason we had to have people buy us beer when we were in high school is because we were only 17 and 18 and we couldn't buy beer.
Well, now when I was a kid, I could buy it when I was 16 because you only had to be 18 to buy beer.
Well, I don't know, understand that math.
Well, I don't know. Somehow it works out. If you're within 2 years, they don't look too close, I think.
They're like, he's close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's because in basically 1984, Congress passed the National Minimum Drinking Age Act. Mm-hmm. And what that did was, it was basically a law that forced states to raise their drinking age from 18 up into 21. So you might ask yourself, well, how can the federal government control a state drinking age? Do you know the answer to that?
Because probably the Interstate Commerce Clause.
That's right. They tied it to basically federal highway funding, and so they would take away federal highway funding if you didn't toe the line with regard to the drinking age, and it was couched under the Interstate Commerce Clause.
Well, because booze travels all over the place.
It does, and you know, federal funding for interstates, that's obviously across the states. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that before, is how the Interstate Commerce Clause is one of those things that gives Congress the power to use, control a lot of the states. So it's a lot of, there's always a struggle going on between federal
and state. They brought that hammer down.
They did. And as we said, it was always expanding. And then basically about that same time, around 1986, is when it started shrinking back down a little bit. When we talked about that, I think it's the U.S. v. Lopez case was an 86 case, or maybe it was 96, where basically trying to force gun restrictions and tying it to elementary schools. And that's when the Supreme Court said, that's not really related to interstate commerce. But
well, and you know, prior to that, there were individual states that had already raised their drinking age to 21.
Right.
And then there were also ones that had laws where, like, you could buy beer or wine at the age of 18, but you couldn't buy liquor until you were 21.
Right.
So they had a lot of different things going on. I remember we went to Cincinnati one time when I was in college, And you had to be 21 to get in the bars there because they had their drinking age. I mean, for beer and everything was 21.
Right.
So I had borrowed a driver's license from another guy on the dorm floor that was 21 so that we could get beer and everything while we were there. And the old West Virginia driver's license didn't have a picture on it.
Right.
It was just like a credit card, you know?
Yeah.
And so while we're driving up there, I said, you know, I'm going to memorize this Social Security number. So if they're not sure if we're old enough or not, then I'll have this memorized so I can buy the beer. And they're like, nobody's going to check you. Just show that to them. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
The first place we stopped in Cincinnati when we got up there, we went to buy some pre-bar beers, mm-hmm. you know, to get lubed up to go.
Pre-gaming.
Yeah. So we go in to buy beers. And the first guy walked up to get it, and he showed him his fake driver's license. And they looked at it, and he goes, well, this doesn't have a picture. Yeah, West Virginia's doesn't have it. Well, I'm not so sure this is yours. And they asked him his Social Security number, and he looked at him, he looked at me, and I said, I've got mine right here, and I know my Social Security number, and I just reeled it off just like that. Oh, okay. So they sold me the beer. They wouldn't sell it to the other kid.
He's like, I don't know my Social Security number. That's why I have my license, so yeah. I can read it off there.
That's another thing. It used to be on your license, not on your license anymore.
Well, you know, it's funny, as I took Ian to get his student ID at Marshall University. He's going to be a freshman this year. Mm-hmm. And they have a student ID number.
Not your Social Security
number. When I was there, a Social Security number.
That's why we know ours,
yeah.
Because you had to have it for everything you did. You had to have your Social Security number. So it didn't pay to have to look it up. You had to memorize it.
Absolutely.
But it's not the same now because of identity fraud.
Talking about fake IDs, when I was living down in Florida, I had a student ticket to go to a UF football game, but I wasn't a student. But they're supposed to check your ID to get into the student section because right. they don't want to just sell student tickets and all to anybody. So my friend, I said, I need an ID. My friend's like, oh, you can just take my roommate's ID. I looked at it, and it was an Indian dude, and I don't look anything like him. And there
you
was a picture.
Middle Eastern at all.
No. And so he's like, don't worry about it. They won't even look at it. It'll work fine. So sure enough, I went up there, gave my ticket. I just kind of had the ID palmed in my hand like I had it there. And they didn't even look at it. I went straight in. He's like, no problem. I was talking, oh, that's great. You know, whatever. So a couple weeks later, I had the same chance to go to the game, same ticket, and same ID. They let me borrow it again. And I was like, oh, no problem. Didn't even sweat it. I walk up and the guy's like, let me see your ID. And I just handed it to him. What else was I going to do? And he looked at it. He looked at me and he goes, looked at it again. He goes, nice ID. And just said, get in there. And just smiled at me. You know, I wasn't trying to hide it or anything. I was like, well, you know, it is what it is. Go Gators.
You know, when we were talking about the drinking age going up, it always is. An old skit that I always remembered on Ronan Martin's Laugh-In.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've quoted that before, and most people have never heard of Ronan Martin's Laugh-In.
Is that the one where they had the box at the end where people opened the doors and stuck their head through?
Yeah, and said things. And Goldie Hawn got her start there. Mm-hmm. She was a go-go girl on there.
Wasn't Dean Martin on that a lot and stuff?
Dean Martin made some appearances.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the Rowan. It was Dan Rowan and Dick Martin mm-hmm. were the two stars of it. But I'll never forget, they did a skit where there was a guy there, and of course this was towards the end of the Vietnam War when that was on, and here was a guy, and he was in an Army uniform, and he said, I can fight and die for my country, but I still can't buy a beer.
Yeah.
Because they draft you at 18, but you couldn't buy a drink till you were 21.
That doesn't seem very fair.
No, it doesn't. If you're fighting for your country, you should be able to buy booze.
I want to get in some more.
Just not while you're fighting.
That's true. I want to get into some more laws and some different things. But one thing I forgot, I was looking at my notes here. It's always good to look at your notes.
True.
I was going to talk about the negligence issue of that guy cutting down the tree and it falling on that girl's car.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think about that? Do you think that she has got a case against the city?
Oh, absolutely. first of all, I would wonder, are they bonded to do that kind of work? You know, the city, I don't know that comes under their purview. It may be cheaper for them to do it with their own employees.
With their own city works.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm not sure that that's something that they're qualified to do. You're better off to go hire one of these tree services to come do it.
Well, you know, the problem with doing a tree service is that most of these public entities, they can't just go willy-nilly and hire anybody to do this. There's actually a lot of times there's going to be like a bidding process.
Well, that's true, too.
Find mm-hmm. people to do it.
Yeah.
Now, for certain things, there's usually not a bidding process for things that are under a certain amount of money.
Right.
or for any kind of project where you have an independent contractor come in or somebody outside to do that kind of work, you have to end up to bidding because you want to avoid any kind of nepotism or cronyism to keep it fair because it's best for the public. Otherwise, somebody's just going to hire their good buddy over there and say, I got a sweetheart deal for you.
Wayne County.
next thing you know, they're going to cut down every tree in the city. We're not going to be Tree City USA anymore.
That's right.
So,
yeah, they got mad up at Coonskin Park in Charleston. Some guy was hired to clear up after they had some kind of storm that went through and took down some trees. He was hired to clean up the trees that were down. Well, he interpreted that as he could take down any tree that looked like it might be a potential problem. Mm-hmm. And he was clear cutting a bunch of the trees and he was selling them out of a state park. He got in all kinds of trouble over that.
It's like, oh, I didn't know I couldn't do this.
Oh, that tree was going to give you trouble. I was just saving you from it being blown down in the next storm.
You should be thanking me.
Well, they said, where'd the money go for the trees? Well, in my pocket.
I had to get rid of them somehow.
Yeah.
The other thing that when you hire somebody to do that too, usually they have to make sure that they have proper insurance as well, because you know things like this do happen. So, now, what kind of cause of action do you think that she would have against the city? What would you call it?
Well,
this is a little bit like legal briefs. Just recap.
Yeah, I was going to say, certainly they were negligent, so you would file a lawsuit, file a tort against them.
Yeah, that's a very well educated, well put way to say that.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I would guess.
You would sue them in negligence because they had a duty to cut down the tree.
Their duty fell on their duty fell on her
they
car.
They breached the duty when they smashed her car to
pieces.
Boy,
did they breach that duty. Now, somebody's in deep duty.
They are, yeah. So, the funny thing about that video, I've watched it several times, and he's like, gotta admit, it was kind of cool. Sound like a beer can getting smashed.
He didn't lose any sleep over it.
No. You all have to see this video. If you haven't seen it yet, go search it up. Yeah. I think his name is Billy Markham.
Yeah, but I don't think he's been drinking. I think he's been smoking.
I don't know. I would like to hang out with that guy on the porch for
a day. If he's just that way naturally, yeah, he'd be pretty fun to hang out with.
He should be the witness for everything that happens ever.
Yeah, that's what somebody wrote in on our Facebook page. Can he be interviewed for everything that happens?
Absolutely. So, now the other weird beer laws and laws, I know when I was growing up, now I couldn't buy alcohol till I was 21, but I think weren't there ABC stores here locally too?
Yeah, they were state-owned liquor stores. That's so where you could be at liquor from.
If you wanted to buy liquor, you had to go to a state-owned store, right?
Correct.
And they were always the same price everywhere, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were the same price because the state set the prices on it.
Now I remember like there were state-owned liquor stores like inside of other stores too. Like wasn't there like a state-owned liquor store inside the Big Bear?
Sometimes there was. Yeah. Yeah, it would be like a separate place. It wasn't part of Big Bear. It would just be established inside of it.
Right. So I guess the state would leave. Now, did the state make money off that, I guess?
I was sure they didn't sell it at a loss.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And then I guess at some point in the legal history, they opened it up and allowed private liquor stores to open up.
Right. Yeah. The government cannot run anything at a profit. I mean, there's too much red tape and there's too many things going on and all your employees have to be paid at a certain level, and they all qualify for pensions when they're 55 years old and 25 years service.
Yeah.
And some of us poor SOBs have to work the rest of our life and we'll never qualify for a pension. So, you know, it's very expensive for the state to do this thing. So they were better off to subcontract that out, per se, and let the now all these companies have to buy a liquor license from the store, and I mean from the state, right. And so the state gets all the money from the liquor licenses.
I've always thought that the case here in West Virginia, we have a lot of red tape when it comes to getting a license for your car, like every year. Mm-hmm. Basically, you have to pay your personal property tax on it, you have to be what do they call it? Not audited, but assessed every year. Mm-hmm. Then you have to fill that out and send it in. Mm-hmm. Then you have to pay your taxes. Then you have to go get a state inspection sticker. Then you have to, I mean, there's like five or six different steps to having a car in this state.
Personal property taxes are just wrong.
Well,
you have to pay taxes on the same thing over and over and over again.
And I don't think that basically we make much money off personal property taxes. I think basically it supports its own system because all the people that work in those offices, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see how much of a profit is made off personal property taxes.
Maryland has the same type thing. And I remember when I moved to the state of Maryland, I had to go in and get my car registered. And they told me what my tax bill was going to be to pay for the car. And I looked at them. I said, that's more than the car is worth. I said, where are you getting that value? That's the Blue Book value. But what they do is they take the high end mm-hmm. on the Blue Book value. If you go to sell your car, they give you the low end of the Blue Book value.
Yeah.
So they charge you the high end. And I said, I tell you what, you give me that amount of money for the car and the car is yours. And she said, sir, the state of Maryland is not in the habit of, not in the business of buying used cars. But I was upset.
I can imagine.
I couldn't believe it. They were, I mean, this car was just barely running and they were charging me all kinds of money.
Was that the Cougar?
I think that was the old Mustang.
Oh, the orange Mustang.
Yeah.
I remember that car.
The Pylon.
That thing didn't have the sweet louvers on the back, too?
No. Louvers. It was for all intents and purposes, it was a K car.
Was it did it have white interior?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it did.
Yeah, orange on the outside and white on the inside.
Woo-wee.
Yeah, it was pretty slick. It was not a true Mustang. I mean, it was when Mustang decided to make a compact car.
An economy, fuel efficient.
It was a four-cylinder, and it was not anything to write home about.
You know, what's funny is that Mustang, it still had the same body style and look of the Mustangs like when I was in high school and stuff that had the big engine in them.
Mm-hmm.
But that one didn't have the big engine.
It didn't really have the same body style either. It was trimmed down. And it was like a K car. No, it was very boxy. Mm. It was very boxy. You could tell it was a Mustang, but it, I mean, let's see, what year would that have been? That would have been a 79,
mm-hmm.
I think. So look that up sometime and you'll see that it was not a fancy looking car.
An orange
and
I can 79 tell you this, Mustang with white interior.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, it didn't have air conditioning either. And we bought that thing brand new, $4,600. That was brand new. So, I mean, compare that to a car now. Go try to buy a brand new car for $4,600 now and see what you get.
Let me ask you this. If somebody tried to sell you that same Mustang for $4,600 now, would you buy it?
No.
What if it was in?
I had nothing but problems with it. It constantly had problems. I couldn't get rid of that thing fast enough. I only buy foreign cars now.
USA.
Woo. Yeah, they're built here. I mean, they might be foreign cars, but they're built here. My car's built in Indianapolis. It just has a foreign name on it.
We had some interesting changes to our liquor and beer laws here recently. One such thing, which I really liked a lot, was the brunch bill.
Right.
Now, that was a city ordinance, I believe, though, wasn't it?
No, the state law was you couldn't sell beer until after, was it 1 o'clock? You couldn't sell any kind of alcohol until after 1 o'clock.
I thought they left that up to the cities.
I don't think so. I mean, it might be, but it got changed in the state, so I have to say it's a state law.
You're probably right then. Well, anyway, it was 2 years ago they changed the brunch bill, which allows you to be able to go out on a Sunday and mm-hmm. have an alcoholic drink after church or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, because in the state of West Virginia, I'm pretty sure you could not buy alcohol between the hours of, I want to say 3.
It was late.
It was 3 Saturday night, Sunday morning,
yeah.
And 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Now, they wanted everybody sober going to church.
Now, as a cosmopolitan gentleman, I don't know how I'm supposed to have a proper brunch without having an alcoholic drink.
Yeah, you got to have your mimosas.
A mimosa?
Got to have
Mary?
A Jason mimosa.
A Jason mimosa. I wish I could draw. I would draw a mashup of Jason Momoa and a mimosa. Is that how you say his name? Momoa?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He's a hunk.
Yeah.
Now, so they changed that, and then recently they also changed some laws that I like a lot. I think I maybe even talked about this before. They changed the growler policy, where you used to only be able to get 2 growlers filled, and now they changed it so you can get as many growlers filled as you want.
As long as you don't drink them on the premises.
That's right.
You have to take them outside.
You can't drink them here.
That's right.
I think that's a
great... You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I think that was a great idea, because, I mean, what's the purpose of saying you can only buy 2? I mean, it serves...
I know,
it serves no real purpose.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know... If you're going to a party, or is it saying that one person can only consume 2? I mean, that made no sense at all.
Well, let me tell you something. If I drink 2 growlers full of craft beer myself, I'm going to be having problems.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, it makes sense if you should be able to buy more so you can actually take it to a party or whatever.
Well, the other thing they did was, first, they passed the first craft beer law back in 2009. Mm-hmm. That was what gave, because before then, West Virginia had 3.2% beer. And they, you know, then they had to increase it as it went up. But they passed a bill where craft beer could have up to 12% beer.
Right.
And so that made the craft beer industry take off. Now, in 2009, you only had about 30 statewide breweries that went into effect then when they passed that.
Yeah.
Now we've got over 100.
Yeah.
And it's growing all the time. But they recently passed another bill here in 2019 that raises the alcohol level up to 15%.
Right.
To expand that into other types of beers that they weren't able to make here.
Yeah, so you can get all those really super strong porters, meads, and things like that, and those bourbon barrel beers and things like that.
Yeah,
which those, you like those a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's several of those that are good. Bourbon barrel porter is really good.
See, I'm kind of against the whole bourbon beer craze. I think I said this at the beer fest we went to this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I like my bourbon to taste like bourbon, my beer to taste like beer, and not the same.
Well, this is kind of like the best of both worlds, you know, when you get that in there. And it, the other thing it does is it's not just soaking up the flavor. There's alcohol in there, too.
Your
alcohol content is up higher on the bourbon barrel
ales. Absolutely. That was one thing we wanted to talk about, too, on this podcast since we decided to talk about booze. Because I think we actually talked about this topic at the Beer Fest. We went to Rails and Ales, which is Huntington, West Virginia's premier annual beer festival. This is like the 9th annual, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, they give you a little mug that will hold 3 or 4 ounces, maybe.
Yeah, I'd say probably 3.
That's what you have, and so you take it, and they just have all the stands set up. And once you get in, you're good to go to all the different stands. Now, when they first did it, they only had about 25 stands, I think, the first year they had it. This year, they probably had 100.
I think they said they had 100.
Yeah, they had 100 ones. And the first year, almost every one of those 25 was from out of state.
Yeah.
Out of the 100 this year, at least half of them were from in the state.
Yeah, we have a booming craft beer industry in West Virginia now.
Well, they're tying it into tourism dollars. Yeah. They're seeing how that they can do that. And they're taking some of these areas that have created some of these breweries are turning it into like an overnight destination type thing.
Yeah.
With bed and breakfast, and you got your brewery, and they're building, you know, like adding on a restaurant next to it and things like that. So,
well, it's a good business for a lot of our state because they don't have much going on there, but they have beautiful scenery and a lot of outdoor things to do.
Right.
So,
and what's better when you're outdoors than beer?
Yeah. So we had a...
They just need to legalize marijuana next for the same reasons.
Yeah, that'll never happen here.
No, we can't even get the medical marijuana. Medical marijuana has been okayed for 2 years, and nobody sells it yet because they don't know how to administer it, and they made the rules so stringent, nobody can pass them.
Well, there's a lot of narrow minds about that, and I really am upset about that because I think West Virginia kind of missed the opportunity to be a bit of the Colorado of the East Coast with all the ski resorts and tourism we have here and could have really benefited from that. But that's me getting off my soapbox.
Well, we do have some narrow minds here. In this bill that recently passed that raised it up to 15%, we had a delegate, Tom Fast, that was a Republican from Fayette County, that spoke in opposition to the proposal. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the run again for more booze pills, and I don't find that very amusing." Fast went down the bill's many provisions and argued that the legislation would increase the possibilities of young people getting alcohol poisoning. "We, as a legislature, have done so much to advance the cause of alcohol, and it just continues expeditiously." Expeditiously? That's not even exponentially would be the word. But he said expeditiously. He didn't even use the right damn word.
Let's
draw the line here.
Was he trying to pass it really fast?
I don't think so. I think he meant exponentially that they're growing, and he said expeditiously because he didn't know what he was saying because he was a dumbass.
Well, his name is Fast, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he just inserts expeditiously in every time he means
to speed everything up, right? But here's the thing. You know why teenagers are not going to be dying from alcohol poisoning with craft beer?
They don't like it.
Well, that's one thing, but they're not going to pay that price for it.
Yeah.
Craft beer's not cheap. You go get a 6-pack of Bud Light or Natty Light or get a 12-pack of Natty Light for like, what, $6 or something?
Oh, it's real cheap.
Yeah, that's what they're going to spend their money on.
Yeah.
They're not going to go buy a four-pack of a craft beer for $15 or $16, which is what you got to pay. You got to like that stuff to buy it.
Yeah.
They're not going to like it, and they're not going to pay for it. They're still going to be getting the Natty Light and the Bud Light and the Miller Light and all that crap.
Absolutely. That's what they're going to be drinking. I mean, no, I'm going to say, even if craft beer had been around when I was like doing some underage drinking, I don't think I would have bought craft beer to do my underage drinking with.
Well, I would have to say I wouldn't either, because I mean, I liked, the only one that I really kind of liked was Miller.
Yeah.
Miller Genuine Draft. I would drink that, but they had one store in town.
It's a champagne of beer.
Well, they say that. There's one store in town that would sell quart bottles of Old Milwaukee for 50 cents a quart. And so you couldn't beat that deal. So we'd go in there and we'd, all the quarts that we could carry to the counter, we'd put up there and throw our dollar bills up on there, paying for our quarts of beer. The guy never said a word, just sold them to us. And we walked out of there, a group of 16-year-olds with their bag full of quarts of beer.
Also, I think too, when you're younger, it's like, it's not so much like, oh, look, we spent this money. We have a 4-pack of this really strong beer we're going to sip on.
Yeah.
No, you want to say like, we got 60 beers.
Yeah, we're going to get as many as we can.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It was like, you got to get through the first three or four to kill your taste buds so you can then enjoy them after that. But the first few, they sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like you drank them for taste. You just put them down to kill, to numb your taste buds so you could then drink the rest. But when I lived in Martinsburg, we'd go across the river to Maryland and buy beer over there because it had the stronger beer.
Yeah.
And they had Rolling Rock in pony bottles.
Yeah.
And we'd go in there and each of us would buy our own case of Rolling Rock. And the mission for the night was everybody drink your own case of ponies.
Finish your box of rocks.
Yeah.
from the glass line tanks of Old La Trobe. I used to like Rolling Rock a lot. I don't like it much anymore.
Well, that's because you've tasted real beer, son.
Well, I think Rolling Rock, you know, I think they sold out.
None of it in America was any good. And somebody told me that they had been to Europe and they had drank real beer and they were saying, you don't know what real beer tastes like. None of this beer in America is any. And I said, I've had Löwenbräu. Little did I know Löwenbräu was made by the Miller Brewing Company.
Yeah.
But that's right, because while they didn't call it craft beer over there, that was real beer they were brewing over there, and it tasted nothing like this stuff over here.
Now, you might call me a hipster, but I do like my PBR.
Oh, not me.
I like PBR, and I don't like it all the time, but I like it on a really hot day, and I like it when it's really cold. It's a great lawnmower beer.
It's, to me, it's a Doobie Brother beer.
A Doobie Brother beer?
Yeah, it keeps you running.
Okay. talking about state lines. So when I was in college, I worked in Myrtle Beach during the summers.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that
was in Horry County, South Carolina, which is basically on the line of North Carolina.
Who are you calling a Horry?
And in Horry County, South Carolina, back when I lived there, there was actually, you were not allowed to buy beer on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we'd get off work and it's like, man, I really want to have a beer. We couldn't buy any. So either you had enough foresight to get enough beer that you didn't drink at all on Saturday night and have some left over,
no, or beer inhibits your foresight.
Or you had to make a BWWRUN beer run up to Calabash,
the next county up.
Calabash, North Carolina. To
That's
get beer.
The home of the world's best seafood.
Supposedly it is, yeah. And so there was a couple times when people had to make Calabash runs on Sunday to get beer for everybody. You know, the other weird thing about South Carolina when I lived there is, and I think they may have changed this now, but there were no full-size bottles of liquor.
Really?
Like, if you went to a bar and ordered a drink, they just had little airplane bottles there were. And they would just basically take the little airplane bottles and pour it into your drink. And mixed drinks were pretty expensive based upon that. But you did know exactly what you were getting when you ordered it.
Hmm.
So I think that had also something to do with probably some sort of Bible Belt type thing. But
sounds like Salt Lake City when we were there.
Yeah.
All the liquor was watered down there. You couldn't buy real liquor. It was all watered down.
Yeah.
And the beer's only 4% beer. Because it has to be non-intoxicating.
Right. And we talked about Utah before, I think, on a previous episode about the Zion curtain and all that,
mm-hmm.
where basically you're not allowed to see anybody pour you a drink. They have to do it behind a curtain.
That's right. You cannot see it. The bar does not sit on display. It's back behind walls or a curtain or whatever. But when we're talking about that talking about non-intoxicating beer, that surprised me. I was reading the bill where West Virginia raised the alcohol content up to 15%.
Right.
And the bill all still calls it non-intoxicating beer.
Really?
And it's like, I thought, well, what is non-intoxicating beer? And it says it means all natural cereal malt beverages are products of the brewing industry, commonly referred to as beer, lager beer, ale, and all other mixtures and preparations produced by the brewing industry, including malt coolers and non-intoxicating craft beers, with no caffeine infusion or any additives masking or altering the alcohol effect, containing at least 0.5% alcohol by volume, but not more than 11.9% of alcohol by weight or 15% alcohol by volume, whichever is greater. The word liquor, as used in Chapter 60 of this code, does not include or embrace non-intoxicating beer. So it's strange to me that this is the way they word it. This is non-intoxicating beer. Now, the only reason that I can put behind it at all, for any kind of reason why you call it that, is the common person could drink one beer and you wouldn't be intoxicated.
Yeah.
Whereas you couldn't drink one bottle of liquor and not be intoxicated.
Probably not.
So that's only sense. If we're trying to logic this thing out, why would it still be? Because I thought the old beer that we used to have, the 3.2,
right,
that was non-intoxicating beer.
Absolutely.
That was why they sold it to 18-year-olds. Now it's 15%. It's still non-intoxicating beer. I mean, that's okay with me if they want to say that, but yeah, it's just strange to me.
Did you know that in West Virginia, it's actually illegal to have a bar if you don't serve food?
If you don't serve food?
Yeah, all bars technically are supposed to serve food.
But they don't.
Well, it's kind of a loophole. Because I remember there was a bar in town called Big Daddy's.
Yeah.
And they didn't serve food. And this is when I was just out of law school, and I was working for a law firm. And actually, I think I was getting ready to go to law school, but I was still working for a law firm. And they had done the incorporation form. And I said something about, like, well, do you guys serve food? He's like, yeah, we have the Big Daddy burrito. It's $1,000. You order it, give us $1,000, we'll make you one. You know,
so that's a loophole?
Yeah. Well, have you ever noticed, like, a lot of places used to have, like,
Summit
bags of chips hanging up and things like
Summit
that?
Summit didn't have anything.
Yeah.
We went in there and we'd get beer and we'd ask, do you have anything to eat? And it wasn't because we thought that was part of the law.
Yeah.
We wanted something to eat.
Well, technically, I believe it's still the law that you're supposed to serve food in a bar.
Well, see, that's the way it is in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Anywhere you can't buy a drink, anywhere that they don't serve food. And not only that, you better have food in front of you.
Yeah.
Everybody better order. It's not like four of you could go in there and three of you order food and the other one doesn't. That fourth one better order something too that's sitting in front of them, or you don't get a drink.
Well, I did read on one website, one more thing too. It's like, yeah, we serve food. We got this jar of pickled eggs over here. It's been here for about 10 years. You're welcome to grab one.
Oh, yeah.
In North Dakota, it's actually, according to his website, it's actually illegal to serve beer and pretzels at the same time.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Can you serve them independently of each other? Can you buy a beer and then come back and buy a pretzel?
I guess the thought process behind that is that you're serving pretzels to make people thirsty. If you make them thirsty, they're going to drink more.
Well, yeah, but you're also going to keep them from drinking on an empty stomach.
That's true.
It'll soak up, those pretzels go in there and soak up some of that alcohol.
That's what everybody had.
Slow down the ingestion process.
Everybody had those pretzels on, walk around the beer fest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They wanted you to have them.
They did.
They encouraged you to eat during the beer fest. They had signs up that said, please eat while imbibing.
They encouraged you to drink a lot of water, too.
Now,
that water was almost my downfall, too.
Yeah, you got that stomach there overloaded. You were like Paul Newman with the hard-boiled eggs there on Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, it was bad. So we had been there about an hour, and there was, I guess, maybe two basic main areas. There's one on one side, and then there was like a stage where they're having some performers and whatnot. And then on the other side, there were two more tents with more breweries and stuff. So we decided to walk from the first tent to that other little area. As we're walking by, there was a place that had a bunch of water, and I grabbed a handful of waters and passed them out to all of us. And I was walking along and thought, you know, I really don't want to carry this bottle around. There's a trash can right there.
I'll just chug it.
I chugged that thing and threw it away. Walked down there, I think got another beer, had to go to the bathroom, went to the bathroom, peed, came back.
We didn't need to know that. That was TMI.
We can edit that out. And so all of a sudden, I felt this watering sensation in my mouth. I thought I was going to throw up. And not because I was like drunk or anything like that.
We'd only been there about 45 minutes.
And all I could think of, I'm going to be that guy that throws up at the beer fest.
Well, there was that guy, but it wasn't you, because so, I went in the bathroom after.
So as soon as I got back from the porta potty, I said, gotta go to the bathroom, be right back. And I took off speed walking back there. And I got over there and I did a couple of deep breaths, like, and fortunately it passed and I was fine. But yeah, chugging cold water at a beer fest, dangerous.
Well, now I know that they call it a beer fest, but I think it's actually wrong. I think it's more of a beer race.
Yeah.
I mean, my goal, once we got through the door, once we got banded and carted and through the gate, my goal was to hit as many places with beer as I could before the final whistle went.
Yeah.
And I did a damn good job, because you did. I don't remember going home. So yeah. I think I won. I won beer fest. Beer race.
Sydney texted me and said, is Dad okay? And I was like, yes, why? And she's like, he's never admitted being drunk to me before, and he said he was hammered or something along those lines. I was like, oh yeah, he's definitely drunk.
I'm still embarrassed I called Owen Phillip.
You did, yeah.
The only reason I could think of that, there was a kid that I went to school with, and his name was Phillip Owens.
Oh,
and yeah. I think that I was thinking Owen, I thought, oh, I'm getting ready to call him his last name, and I called him Phillip. But in the state I was in, who knows what my thought process was.
I described your intoxication level as 1995 Marshall football tailgate pre or mid season form.
That's right.
1994 Tommy Smurl.
Hey, so. But I'm happy when I'm hammered. At least I'm not like a mean drunk or
no,
something.
No, you were very happy.
Yeah.
You gave me many hugs.
That's right. Well, you were giving me a ride home, so I didn't have to drive. That was good.
That's true. I did.
Yeah.
So
I appreciated that, and so did the rest of the inhabitants of the city.
It was a good time.
The Uber guy we would have called, that he appreciated you taking me home, so he didn't have to put up with me.
That's right. Now, the other interesting thing, too, is the craft beer craze has taken off, but so has the homebrewing craze. And a lot of states were behind the times with allowing people to homebrew. It was actually illegal to brew beer in your own home. That just seems kind of un-American to me.
It does. You should be able to do whatever you want. Your home is your castle.
You can make meth there if you want.
Well, no.
No, not meth.
No. You can't do illegal things. You can't make illegal substances.
But So my first experience with homebrewing was with my friend Chris. And this was probably back in 2004, 2005. He was making a Stone Brewery Arrogant Bastard clone in his house, and he invited me over to help him do it. And I had never brewed beer before, and I saw him do it, and I thought, wow, this is very complicated. And I think it's not super complicated because of, like, it's tricky, but you have to keep everything super, super clean. Mm-hmm. Because if you get any kind of weird contamination
in there, your yeast will go bad.
It's going to screw it all up.
Yeah.
And he brewed that beer, and I had some, and it was delicious. And that was my first experience with craft beer, and homebrewing was back then. Mm-hmm. So he's... Yeah.
Sydney and Justin have done their own batches from time to time.
Have they?
Yeah.
Has it turned out good?
Yeah. Yeah, they've made some good ones.
It's one of the things, I think I would really like to do it, but I don't really have the extra time to get involved in it.
That's where I was. I thought, oh, yeah, I want to try that. And I got a manual on how you do it. And I went through about the first three pages. I said, nope, it's too involved. I can't do all this.
I have a friend down in Florida, and he, his name's Chris. And he works somewhere around NASA doing some sort of engineer type thing. I think he's pretty much a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
And he brews.
The rocket man.
He brews delicious beer. He's very, very mechanically inclined, too. He took a freezer, like one that's probably like maybe 6 or 7 feet long and about waist high, and he rewired it so the temperature would only be set at a good temperature for beer.
Mm-hmm.
He drilled and tapped 6 taps along it, and he brews his own beer, kegs his own beer, and puts it in his own cooler like that. And it is super
cool. That'd
be cool. And he has really good beer. I mean, I've had some people's homebrew where I've been like, oh yeah, man, that's really good stuff. You'll have to make more of it. But I mean, his is really, really good. I mean, it was brewery quality beer. So well,
the only thing I could think of as better, I read a interesting thing. I have a beer calendar, and it's got different beer facts each day. And there was a guy, I don't know, back in the 1800s, maybe, or maybe early 1900s, and he won the Nobel Prize, and he lived in, I don't know, it's like Bavaria or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's where the Carlsberg brewery is.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there were so proud of him winning this Nobel Prize, they built him a house next door to the brewery and ran his own personal tap from the brewery into his house for a lifetime supply of free beer.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good. And it was ironic. Today, the one that came up on it that I have for us is we're talking about craft beers. It gives the what you have to do to be officially designated as a craft brewery by the Brewers Association. It says a brewery has to be small, independent, and traditional. That means it must have an annual production of fewer than 6 million barrels of beer.
Wow.
And less than 25% of the brewery is owned by another company in the alcoholic beverage industry that is not itself a craft brewery. And the majority of the alcoholic beverages produced have to be beers.
Hmm.
So that's how you do it to qualify to become a craft brewery.
Have you ever had any Elsinore beer?
Elsinore?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I got a six-pack of it one time, mm-hmm. and I was really excited about it. And I opened it up, and I found a mouse in it.
Inside a bottle?
Inside the bottle.
That's not ever good.
I know.
I mean, it will add extra flavors. And
I took it back to the brewery and said, hey, hosers, found a mouse in my beer. You need to give me like a free case. They said, take off.
Are you doing the old routine?
it's from Strange Brew.
You're doing that old routine?
Don't you remember that movie?
I remember the movie. I don't remember that line. I do remember the accent and the hosers.
Yeah.
But nobody else is going to get that reference. There's a few old guys there.
I bet they will. Strange Brew was like one of my favorite movies. It was very formative.
Was it the McKenzie brothers?
Yeah. It was a very formative movie for me as a young teenage mind.
The thing I remember about them the most was their form of a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And a beer.
Homebrewing actually in Mississippi and Alabama wasn't allowed until 2013. You actually couldn't homebrew there. So basically, once they finally came into line and allowed people to homebrew, now you can homebrew, I believe, in all 50 states. So it's allowed.
Well, that's good. It's a good hobby, but with the proliferation of craft breweries, I enjoy the idea of going around and traveling to some of these different ones and sampling them, and it's worth doing it. I mean, I understand the tourism factor behind it.
Yeah.
Because it's worth going to some of these they've taken old lodges and stuff and they've rebuilt them,
mm-hmm.
and you can go stay in like these log cabins and have these meals built around their craft brews and stuff, yeah. like that, and they have tastings. You can go to some of them and you can stay at a centrally located place and travel to these different craft breweries and sample their beers and stuff.
I'll tell you, we have one in town, the Peddler. Mm-hmm. They have really stepped up their beer game. They've been open about 2 years now, I think. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's actually three.
Well, but their brewery just started within this last year.
I think it's been about a year and a half the brewery's been open.
Has it been that long? Because before, they were getting, most of their beers were coming from Charleston from a brewery up there. I guess was that Bad Shepherd, or is that what they have here?
I think it might have been Bad Shepherd at that point.
Yeah, Bad Shepherd, which they have restaurants here in Huntington too, but their brewery was in Charleston.
So they actually won. I saw they got third place at the beer fest. I saw like a thing up there. So
yeah, they got some good beers. Bad Shepherd does too.
But Peddler, when they first started their first couple beers, they were okay, but they weren't great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, in the past, I'd say 6-7 months, they have gotten really good. I mean, they've really come into their own. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, when you look at the equipment that's involved in that, it's unbelievable. First of all, it's all stainless steel.
Yeah.
And the expense behind some of these things. I know when I went on a tour, when we went to Louisville and went on that bourbon tour, we also went to a place that does bourbon and beer,
mm-hmm.
at the Lexington Brewery. And they showed these different components that were involved. And you're talking about these vats that they use. They're like $300,000.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. And like you say, everything is spotlessly clean.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. My first experience with any kind of craft beer was actually, again, in Myrtle Beach. At Broadway at the beach, they had a Liberty Beer House or something like that. It was mm-hmm. there. And they had a bunch of different – they brewed their own beer there and had craft beer there. And I remember my first one was like an unfiltered wheat. And I thought that was delicious. I loved it. But, you know, Huntington had a place called Brewbakers.
A long time ago.
That was probably 1990.
But you know why that probably failed? The laws were so restrictive on what you could make that they couldn't make the variety you can make now.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could just sit there and brew a lager that's going to compete with Miller or something like that, and people are going to pay the extra money for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now you can do so many different things that you've got the variety you can build in there.
The one place in town, Oscar's, which they just moved to their new space, they have a couple of old cans from some of the old Huntington breweries, because there used to be old breweries in Huntington a long time ago. They're long gone. It's kind of neat to see that little bit of history there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where they got those cans from. I'd like to have one.
Yeah, look, closest place around here would be, well, either Cincinnati or Lexington now.
Yeah.
I mean, to the old breweries that you had, Utipole. Remember Utipole from Cincinnati?
I don't.
That was one of the ones from there, one of their famous ones. Fall City from Pittsburgh.
Well, Fall City's not around anymore, is it?
I don't think so.
Iron City's still around.
Yeah, Fall City's not.
Yeah.
And Schlitz.
Schlitz.
When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer. Real gusto from a great light beer. Schlitz.
I don't know that I've actually had Schlitz beer. I've had Schlitz malt liquor.
I used to like Schlitz.
The one with the bull on the...
No.
The double D's?
I know what you're talking about there, but that's not the same thing as what Schlitz was. They had a very precarious name there, though. You could slip with that name several different ways and be in trouble. So,
yeah.
And when you've been drinking, it would be real easy to slur that and say something bad. So they should have probably gone with a better name.
Well, it's probably a family name.
Well, it could have been, but it was a bad family.
Hello, Mr. Schlitz. Well, that's going to bring us to...
I'm here to see your daughter, Sandy.
That's dangerous.
That's what I said. That's what I was saying. Legal briefs.
I was going to say briefs. So legal briefs is the part of the show where we usually talk about different legal terms we talked about. We didn't really talk too much legal turkey today. We talked
beer.
We talked a lot about beer.
Legal term beer.
You know, sometimes we just fall back to the things we know best.
Yeah, beer. We beer. Like beer. So, it makes me a jolly good fellow.
So what was your favorite beer from the Beer Fest, the Rails and Ales?
There was two. They were both porters. One was called Coltrane, and the other was called Dirty Beard.
The Dirty Beard was pretty good. I did try that. I mean, I just tried a sip of yours. I didn't try a full glass of it. And first of all, let me just say, I think you're a madman for drinking porters all day.
It was porters about, and stouts. Those are my favorite.
90, 95 degrees out.
It was hot.
It was not cool. And you're drinking this thick motor oil beer. I stuck with my IPAs. But one other thing I was going to say about the Rails and Ales fellas is different. So you are right. We have these little 3-ounce glasses, and you can just go as many samples, as many as you want.
Right.
Other ones I've been to, they give you like more like an actual glass, like a pint glass, and they give you tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only drink so many in theory.
But that would kill me having to try to choose which ones because you know, now I could just choose by wherever the shortest line was. I could get to the beer quicker.
Yeah.
But if I had to actually parcel them out, and then I would be out of tokens, and then I would be irate.
Well, it seems to me from a liability standpoint as an attorney, I prefer the ticket idea.
Well, that could be. But they also were offering discounts for Uber rides.
Yeah.
And then there was somebody else offering like a taxi service that would actually drive you from there.
Yeah.
So they were trying to be responsible. They were also offering discount tickets to people that wanted to come in as a designated driver.
Yeah.
I was a designated drinker.
You were.
So, and I did. I fulfilled my job to the nth degree.
You knocked it out of the park.
It knocked me out of the park.
I thought you were going to jump in the river.
But I was back up the next morning and getting ready for Charlie's birthday party. Didn't slow me down.
Yeah. That was a fun birthday party, too, by the way.
Well, thank you. It was all Mary's doing. I just showed up.
Yeah, it was a good time. So my favorite beer, I think, was an IPA from Chestnut Brew Works in Morgantown. Can you believe that? A Morgantown beer.
No, I don't like anything from Morgantown. I would not. I had them pour me a cup just so I could pour it out on the ground. I wouldn't even drink it.
In case you don't know, Morgantown is where WVU is located. And Tommy hates WVU.
I hate WVU.
Me, not so much, but...
I do. I'll make no bones about it. Every week during football season, I'm rooting for two teams, Marshall and whoever's playing WVU.
Again, not me. I root for WVU. I can't help it.
They're cowards. They won't play us. They're cowards.
Well...
They said it's not a rivalry because we never won. It can't be a rivalry when one team doesn't win. Give us a chance.
They may be onto something there. But there's times when we should have beat them. We just didn't.
I know.
And that's what keeps me up at night.
It's usually a coaching collapse.
Yeah. One day we will beat them.
No, because they won't play us anymore.
No, one day they will.
Well, we'll see.
Well, I think that's about all I have. I think all this talk about beer has got me wanting to get home and have a beer.
I know what you mean. I can't. It's a good thing we're almost to the weekend because I need to start imbibing in some again, too. Saturday's wore off.
I had a long day today.
Really?
Yep. Had to get the van off to school this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He has to get on the bus at 6:30.
Man.
I know.
Why don't you just drive him to school? That'd be shorter.
I asked him. He said he likes riding the bus. I said,
well, he likes riding the bus?
Yeah. He has friends on the bus, and they talk and stuff, so.
That was an old song there. If Jesus were one of us, he'd ride the bus or something like that, but yeah. I forget how it goes exactly.
So after that, went to work, and then at about 4 o'clock left and went to soccer practice, coached soccer, and then came directly from soccer practice over here to record a podcast.
Well, you sound like you need a beer.
I might go actually cut the grass.
Oh.
And then have a beer.
I'm going to eat dinner.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
Well, all right.
Cheers. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out, though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Tommy's Random Thoughts. Today's random thought is Kacey Musgraves as a lyricist. Now, Kacey Musgraves has a nice voice. I like hearing her voice. It's very pleasant. She's a very attractive young lady. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's her lyrics that I call into question. Now, when one of her most recent songs, Slow Burn, no doubt about it, it's a catchy hook on the refrain, and it's nice to sing along with that. But if we really look at the lyrics, I don't know. I gotta scratch my head. It starts out all right. Born in a hurry, always late. Haven't been early since 88. I'll assume she was born in 88. I don't know that to be a fact, but makes sense to me. Now, it starts getting a little bit searching here for a rhyme. Texas is hot. I can be cold. Grandma cried when I pierced my nose. Okay. All right. Well, all right. We'll buy that. It's not too bad yet. Good in the glass. Good on green. Good when you're putting your hands all over me. Now, good on green, first of all, I don't even know what that means unless we're playing golf or something. And then we got our grandma in one line. We're talking about grandma crying, and then we're talking about putting your hands all over me. Grandma ain't going to like any of that, so don't sing about our grandma sentimentally and then be putting our hands all over us. That just doesn't go together. All right, now that verse isn't too bad. If that was the worst it got, I could live with that. But go on to the next verse. In Tennessee, the sun's going down. Okay. But in Beijing, they're heading out to work. What the hell has Beijing got to do with it? Why are we talking about China in a love song? We're worried about tariffs with China and trade practices. We don't care when they're going to work and the sun's going down here. That's really desperate. That's not even reaching. That's desperate. And then we say, you know, the bar down the street don't close for an hour. We should take a walk and look at all the flyers. So it'll rhyme with ours. But here's the thing. So the bar doesn't close for an hour. We're going to take a walk and look at the flowers. The damn bar's going to be closed by then. Why would we go do that and miss out on getting our drink on? That makes no sense at all. So I don't know. I mean, like I say, it's got a good hook. It's very catchy. She's got a nice voice. She's pleasant to look at. But these lyrics, I need a break. Anyway, thank you for listening. This has been Tommy's Random Thoughts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.